Welcome to our Tuesday special. Usually evening, we're going to post this maybe a little bit earlier today because of the men's basketball game tonight, but it's Acre Pro Buy Sell. It's at least one of my favorite times of the week because Tom and I get to talk a little bit of football, and we'll do that here. When it comes to land sales, it pays to have experts in your corner, and Acre Pro Midwest Farm Group are your local farmland specialists with decades of experience in Indiana agriculture. No one knows the market better. Whether you're doing a 1031 exchange or simply buying and selling farmland, your local Acre Pro agent will walk the land with you and ensure the deal is done right. Visit acrepro.com or call 765-587-3185 and talk to your local land expert today. Probably a good time to be doing this now that most of the harvest is done. I don't know much about agriculture, Tom. Are you a farm guy? Do you know how this all works very well?
No idea.
I know. All I know is they get it done and they work hard doing it. And your Acre Pro Midwest Farm Group will help you out if you're in the land business with that. All right, Tom. Buy, sell, a couple thuds for the Boilermakers here the last 2 weeks, two games, I should say, lost to Wisconsin, obviously, and an Iowa 24-3 defeat. I don't know who is it. We always credit Brian Newbert, but it's probably Gene Cady. It might be somebody else. Nothing's as bad as it seems, or nothing's as good as it seems. Doesn't seem real good right now for Purdue, but then Illinois might be saying the same thing. I mean, they lost at home to Michigan State in a game that probably few thought they'd lose, though I don't know who you picked on Media Mania. I know I picked Illinois. But my point is, let's start with the early buy-sell. Aiden O'Connell's had some issues with interceptions of late. Illinois' defense, Jeff Brohm talked about Monday about its ability to kind of efficient, which I wasn't 100% sure what he meant by that, but what they bring to the table defensively. All right, we're going to go over under buy sell that Aiden O'Connell has one or fewer interceptions this week against the Fighting Illini.
I think he'll have at least one. You know, he's had one in each of the last six games. He's had five the last two games, and you know, those obviously have been the down points. The Wisconsin game, and the Iowa game, with the five combined picks. But again, his interception streak dates back six games now, 10 interceptions on the year, leads the Big Ten. And it's just a sort of a function of how Purdue plays and what they want him to do. They want him to be aggressive. They want him to take chances. Interceptions are going to happen. Illinois has got a very good defense. Purdue's probably always going to have to throw the ball to win the game. So while you'd like for him to be perfect, I think the combination, again, of that Illinois defense and Purdue's style of offense probably is going to lead to Aiden having at least one pick. You just hope it's not a big one, a pick six. And you hope also that it's just the one interception. So I'm buying the notion that his interception streak is going to continue.
Yeah, but you're not saying over one.
No, I don't know. I'm just saying it's going to continue. Yeah. I hope it's not over one for Purdue's sake.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, it's interesting, you know, last year we were going through Aiden's streak, which is still an all-time in Purdue annals. I think, what would we say, 250-some passes without an interception before he threw two picks in in Nashville last year. Absolutely amazing. But how much are you buying or selling? And again, we're not ragging on the receivers, but there's a big difference in who Purdue has. At least it seemed like last year, maybe David Bell made a big difference, and Purdue has a few more options. And it seems, as good as Charlie Jones has been, are you buying or selling that it's more on Aiden O'Connell or more on Purdue's challenges at the receiving core? What do you feel like there?
You know, maybe a little bit of both. I think, not to be that guy who blames the weather, I do think the weather impacted Aiden last week. I know Spencer Petras didn't seem to be impacted, but Aiden's picks were, I think, with the wind. The ball sort of sailed on him, got a little bit too high. But, I think, again, some of it is Aiden, but a lot of it, I do, Alan, think it is this offense and the lack of, I guess, other real viable options outside of Charlie Jones, to be honest with you. I'm going to do a story today I'm posting on that very fact of Charlie Jones and how often he's targeted. And, every defense knows what's going on, right? They watch film. they know Purdue wants to go to Charlie Jones early and often. We saw Wisconsin safety John Torchio jump a couple routes and one interception that went for a TD. So, you know, Aiden O'Connell trusts Charlie Jones, Alan. I asked Aiden that a couple weeks ago. I went back and found the quote, and they have a chemistry. And, hey, truth be that he is Purdue's playmaker. So yeah. You're going to want to get the ball to your playmaker, right? I do, again, think Purdue tries to maybe force it too much. But who else are you going to throw it to, Alan?
Right, yeah. That's the challenge.
Purdue would love to have T.J. Sheffield or Deion Burks, Mershon Rice, somebody of that ilk step up. But we haven't seen it. So what are you going to do? You want to get the ball to Charlie. And, again, I think that does maybe reach a point of diminishing returns after a while. Not many yards after the catch. He has a hard time getting separation. He's banged up. And again, defenses are focused on him. So you put all that together and you can see maybe why there's been a spat of interceptions here, I think. Even though, again, Alan, the two interceptions last week weren't passes to Charlie Jones, though.
They were not, right? Yeah. That's what's
interesting. Tracy and Dylan Downing.
Okay. Yeah. Good point. Good point on that. And that's an excellent way of looking at it. Okay. I'll throw a curveball at you in terms of the whole situation with having the opportunity to run the football. This isn't a curveball. We actually talked about Devin Mockaby and he was under 100 yards last week. Illinois' defense is pretty staunch from that standpoint. I'm going to do it over under at 80 yards. Are you buying or selling for Devin Mockaby this week?
I think I'm selling. I think the sledding is going to be tough against this Illinois defense. I haven't looked yet to see if Illinois is allowed a 100-yard rusher. My guess would be that it probably hasn't. Just not to bore you with numbers, but Illinois has got the number one total defense in America. And their rushing defense is number four in America. They're only giving up 79.7 yards per game on the ground. And the pass defense is number one in America. So you can see these are some pretty heady numbers. I'm sure the Purdue offense is something a little bit unique they haven't seen yet. But Devin Mockaby, again, I think it's going to be pretty difficult for him to get over the century mark against this Illini defense. Jeff Brohm talked about it on Monday. It's a unique front with five guys. And I talked to Lauren Tate for our opponent's view, and he says they got a couple NFL defensive tackles. So it's going to be a real challenge. And I guess I'd be hard-pressed to see Devin getting what I think it was he said, the 80 yards.
Yeah.
I think he's probably going to be under 80 yards against the Fighting Illini.
Yeah, you have to look at that game from that standpoint. It's going to be tough sledding, no question. Okay, Chase Brown, on the other hand, has run for over 100 yards in 9 consecutive games this week, 136 yards last week. His high, 199 against Indiana. He's not been over the 200-yard mark. All right, I'm going to put that number at 130. Can Purdue keep him under 130 yards this week?
I don't think so. I think Chase Brown's going to go for over 130. Defense seems to be springing leaks here in the run game. We saw last week that 75-yard touchdown run by Caleb Johnson, a freshman running back who also had 200 yards rushing. I'm the first Iowa player to do that, I think, since 2015. Chase Brown is a wily vet who actually leads the country in rushing yards. He has over 1,300 rushing yards, averages about 150 per game. So I think he's going to get over 130. You know, the back seven, the linebacking core, just some real issues there with their run fits last week in particular. The tackling sometimes can be spotty. They love to feed Chase Brown the ball, Alan. He's got 257 carries, which is more than anybody in America. They're going to lean on him, of course, and that opens things up for Tommy DeVito. So we all know, I'm sure Purdue's going to come in wanting to slow down Chase Brown. They did do a good job for most of the year against a lot of really good running backs. But in recent games, we've seen him spring some leaks here. And this is going to be a heck of a challenge against what could be the best running back in the Big Ten, at least statistically, outside of Mo Ibrahim up in Minnesota.
And
yeah,
I did.
I know, being a Blake Corman, Michigan's really good too.
Oh yeah, Blake, and they both, and they're going to play each other next week. They remind me a lot of each other. They just are, mainly because they're kind of, I think they both run with their the ball in their left hand. They're interesting from that standpoint. You know, and that is a that is an interesting way of looking at the way that they're doing. By the way, to answer your question, Mo Ibrahim did run for 127 yards against Illinois. I think he was the high water mark. He is, and in Wyoming had a back that ran for 98 yards against the Fighting Illini. But you're right, it's hard to run against them, and they can run the football on a consistent basis. It's going to be a long afternoon. All right, I'm going to ask, and for your Tuesday look, are you buying or selling? I don't the line on this game. If you take the points, I'm not going to ask you for your down home pick just yet. But who are you buying or selling with the points this week?
How many points?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I got. I knew you were going to ask me. What's the line? And after
it open at six, may still be around six or so, maybe four and a half.
All right. So are you thinking Purdue covers this? Are you buying or selling?
I think Purdue covers. I think they cover. Whether they win or not, I'm not sure, but I think they cover. And you know, this is it for Purdue as far as wanting to cling to any remaining hope of winning the Big Ten West.
Yeah.
It's still out there. You got to beat Illinois, of course, right? And you got Wisconsin and Iowa playing this week, and they're the other two teams in it. Obviously, the loser there is going to sustain a loss. So that'll leave you, you know, if Purdue wins, Alan, that would leave you with three teams at 4-3 in the Big Ten West, if I'm doing this correctly. Illinois, Purdue, and the winner of Wisconsin, Iowa. So if Purdue wins out, Illinois loses at Michigan, and the winner of the Wisconsin-Iowa game loses another game, you know, Purdue could still win the West. Doesn't seem that far-fetched. If they can take care of Illinois, you got Northwestern and Indiana, and then you got to like Michigan's chances to beat Illinois and Ann Arbor. And then again, Wisconsin-Iowa, I don't know their schedule the rest of November, but I'm sure it's probably a rivalry game.
Yeah, they've got
Minnesota, those type of opponents.
Right, they've got their three games left. Minnesota, Wisconsin's only got three left. They would have to lose if Wisconsin beats Iowa this week. Of course, they're on the road, but if Wisconsin beats Iowa, they will have Minnesota at home, and then they will go to Nebraska. So,
what about Wisconsin?
And that's Wisconsin. I'm sorry, Tom. Okay. Yeah, those are the games that. If I'm reading, yeah, they go. Let me restate that. You've got Wisconsin's got Iowa this week on the road. They go to Nebraska on the 19th, and then they come home to play Minnesota.
Yeah.
So that tiebreaker. And again, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but let's say Purdue does win this week. Yes, Illinois would have to lose, and Purdue would have to have separation from Wisconsin. Because of obviously the tiebreaker in that situation. Now, Illinois would have four losses in this scenario because they would have lost four conference games by that time if they lose to Michigan and obviously lose to Purdue. And Purdue would have that tie, would not be a three-way tie. So that is Purdue's path. Now, yeah. Iowa, on the other hand, has got a chance to, if they win at home, this week, which, you know, who knows, that's going to be a fascinating game between two teams that have had a kind of a funky way of going. Iowa's got to go on the 19th to Minnesota, and then of course they host Nebraska. So if Iowa wins this week, then you have to hope, you got to be rooting for PJ Fleck to have them get beat again. But so it's funny, it's really not that far-fetched for Purdue, as crazy as it sounds, because I think if Purdue, and then obviously Purdue must win this week to get there, there's no question, but as crazy as it sounds. Now, as I think my dad, as I've said about this before, my dad always used to, you need to look at the way these teams are playing, the way Purdue's playing. If you think they're going to win the rest of their games, you're wrong. Well, I will find out. Jeff Brohm and company have had a way of turning things around and doing things when you least expect it. And boy, this would be one of those games this week. Wouldn't be an absolute shocker, but it would be a surprise if Purdue can go to Illinois and win. All right. trying to think of what other buy sells we want to hit.
Just like nobody thought Michigan State was going to win over there last week.
Absolutely.
Right?
And and I watched a good portion of that game in the second half. You know, Michigan State really had Illinois made it closer than it seemed. I mean, Michigan State had them, and the whole adage about having a passing quarterback, I know Peyton Thorne only threw for 182 yards, but he was efficient, so to speak. They were able to do enough to get the job done. It is going to be cold.
Yeah, it'll be cold.
Illinois, you're going to have to bundle up. You're going to have to wear those new UGG gloves you bought for yourself this week, but yeah. It will be definitely be cold. I'm looking at the temperature high of 39 in Lafayette. It's going to be about the same in Champaign. So you have to look at this game and say that that will be another factor from that standpoint. High of 38.
The one thing would be how windy it is. I'm looking at Illinois' schedule, Alan, and they really have not seen a quarterback or a passing game of Purdue's ilk all year. Wyoming, IU, Virginia, Chattanooga, Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, Michigan State. They have not seen, again, anything like Purdue's offense. So I'm sure there's some nervousness over there in Champaign as they prepare for, again, an offense they really have not seen the likes of. And I know history doesn't matter, but it's always fun to talk about. And Purdue's really sat on Illinois for almost 15 years. It's crazy, isn't it? If you look at this recent rivalry for the Cannon.
Yeah.
I think Purdue's won the last five times over in Champaign, dating to like a loss in 2010 under Danny Hope. And Bombs 4-1, I think. So even Daryl Hazel won over there, for crying out loud.
Twice. He won twice. He only won three Big Ten games. He won two over there.
Thank God for the Illinois. If you're Illinois,
great Nathan Shielhouse, my friend, in 2010, beat the stuffing out of Purdue in a very one-sided game from that standpoint. By the way, wind expectation in Champaign, 12 miles an hour out of the south. Oh. They really look. So I don't think they're talking about anything quite like we saw last week. And, of course, that stadium is a little bit protected because it's closed in on both ends.
Closed in, yeah.
Yeah, actually one of my favorite stadiums just because it's got that old-time Soldier Field, Red Grange feel to it from that standpoint. So that will be a fun thing to watch from that, you know, from what will be a very, very interesting game to be sure.
I guess, Al, for you, I mean, we haven't talked about the Purdue pass defense and issues they have back there. I mean, a buy sell on if you think the big play, the leakage that has been persistent of late will finally subside. Will Tommy DeVito feast on this Purdue secondary? You know, Al, they're going to take their shots. They watch film. They know the vulnerabilities. Even though that is not the strength of the Illinois offense, they're probably licking their chops going, okay, Tommy, this is it, man. You know Purdue's going to try to stop Chase Brown. That's going to leave these D-backs in one-on-one coverage. Let's go get them.
Yeah, I think you're right from that standpoint. Tommy DeVito has not been a guy that has thrown, you know, for oodles of yards. He's thrown for 1,882 yards this year. 14
short passes. Yeah, short passes. I'm told he's throwing short passes. He's hitting 70% of his passes, but they're short ones.
Yeah, he is. He's right now at 71.5% of his passes, and that has made a situation where he is a guy that I'll throw another one in there. Will Purdue keep him under 250 yards? What do you think on that? While you're doing that, I'm going to look Tommy up and see what his biggest game is this year too.
I think they'll keep him under 250 yards. Although, you know, if they're losing, obviously that number could go up, but I don't think Brett Bielema is going to stray from his identity, which has been his identity since he was at Wisconsin. He's never going to stray too far from the run. And if DeVito's throwing for over 250 yards, it's probably not good news, obviously, for Illinois. So while Purdue has had issues back there, giving up big plays, you know, they're probably going to – you're always going to get beat a few times a game. You just don't want it to be multiple times to give up 6 points. I do think that they're going to keep DeVito under 250 yards in this ball game.
Well, and to your point exactly, Tom, he has thrown over 250 yards in two of the last three games. Last week, he because they were behind, he had to throw, he threw for 288. That was his high water mark. He threw for 252 against Minnesota in that win. Of course, they were in relatively – and his high water mark this year, 332 yards against Tennessee Chattanooga in that 31-0 win. So, but he's also had in the Iowa game, of course, he was hurt. So that's a silly thing. Only had 42 yards in that one, but he's had 194 against Wyoming, 196 against Virginia in games that they had in hand. Nebraska also a game that he was 20 for 22, but only 179 yards. But again, efficiency seems to be the word of the day at Brent Bielema's team from what they do offensively and defensively.
Yeah, here's one. Here's another one for you, a buy or sell, Alan. Jeff Rom talked about this on Monday. Buy or sell, Purdue's going to use two quarterbacks Saturday.
You know, it's funny with Jeff. I'm buying it because I think when he starts talking about it, I thought it was interesting that he talked about the fact that he really, in retrospect, might have taken – I didn't think that was a good move, but Austin Burton against Iowa, maybe it would have been shook some things up. But I think you're going to see Austin Burton.
I'll be honest with you, Alan. I thought long ago we'd see Austin Burton.
Yeah, it's interesting they've gone away from that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, why just let him sit on the sideline? I mean, find a role for him. I know people are going to say, well, every time Austin Burton comes in the game, everybody knows he's going to run the ball. Well, he may run it, but he can still pass it too. You can set up all types of plays off Austin Burton. And, well, why not utilize his skill set just as a change of pace a couple times a game? I mean, you use every asset you got instead of letting them just sit over there and hold a clipboard for 60 minutes.
Well, and it's interesting because even during O'Connell's streak last year, I think with maybe the exception of the bowl game, I don't remember if Burton got into that game at all. But my point is that he played, you know, Burton got in each, I think, in just about every one of those games. So last one I'll hit on today is trick plays. I know that's especially early on in Jeff Brohm's. I don't know that they've run two in a game yet. They ran one last week, sort of, right? I mean, it was a pitch back. All right, my minus two. Will we get two this week, Tom? Do you think Jeff Brohm digs into, again, that efficient defense that Illinois plays? I'm not sure the definition of that, but are they susceptible to that at all, do you think?
I think so, and why not, Alan? I'm buying, you know. This is it if you're Purdue, right? I mean, why hold anything back? This is it. I mean, you got Northwestern and Indiana down the road here, but this is it. Empty your bucket. This is your empty the bucket game in my mind. And if you got some kind of gimmick you want to use, roll it out there. Whatever it is, play, a scheme, a personnel set, roll it out there. All the pressure, Alan, is on Illinois. We talked about the loss last week, the kick in the gut loss for Illinois at home.
Yeah.
Stunning loss. Now they got to have some doubt in their head, right? Oh my gosh, what's going on? Here comes Purdue, obviously not playing real well, but with nothing to lose. And again, that sometimes that can be a nice mental situation to be in for a player and a staff. So I say I'm buying the notion that we could see maybe a couple gimmicks here on Saturday.
Yeah, you're right. If Purdue wants to get to end the season on a very positive note, a really positive note, end of the, you know, they need to win this game because you're right. Northwestern and Illinois, Indiana, Purdue will be favorites. Obviously, Indiana game is always dangerous because of the rivalry part. And Northwestern obviously is playing a little bit better. At least they did last week in the.
You can still finish 7-5 though, Al.
Yeah, you
lose obviously. So you can still finish 7-5, which wouldn't be too bad. But 8-4 would be a lot better going to the postseason, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no question. And a much better bowl thing, which you told me before, we're not talking bowls yet.
Yeah, I mean, again, that the bowl stuff. I mean, I saw one where they had him going to the Birmingham Bowl playing Tulane. I mean, as we talked about off camera, if you will, that the bowls aren't based on merit anyway.
No.
7 wins, 8 wins, it doesn't matter.
You need momentum.
You're never playing for bowl position, honestly. The Big Ten office gets involved in selecting teams. It's just about spreading you around, finding good matchup has nothing to do with one-loss records, which seems absurd, but that's the case.
Yeah. Well, I do think one thing that it does play into this week's game, and that is if Purdue can win three games, even if it doesn't get to the Big Ten championship game in that scenario, it will help them get a maybe get to a Florida or a better bowl. I don't know. I think Purdue's attractive from a travel standpoint. Maybe because they haven't, and they also haven't worn out their welcome in Florida. You know, the Boilermakers haven't been to Florida. We talked about that since 2006. So, and that infamous Champs Sports Bowl. But you know what? We're not talking about bowls this week. It's still too early. So we'll leave it at that. All right, Tom, always good stuff. Always enjoy the conversation. Want to thank AcrePro Midwest Farm Group, your local farmland specialist. Visit acrepro.com or call 765-587-3185 and talk to your local land expert today. Tom, we'll look forward to all your coverage this week, and we're going to stick on I-74 and they're going to pull out a paper bag with some Beef House rolls for you on the way back. I hope you get a chance to maybe you can have a little meal there on the way over. I don't know what your plans are, but we'll figure something out. All right. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for watching and listening. A lot more coverage this week as Purdue takes on Illinois. A lot of Purdue basketball, obviously, as Purdue's got a couple home games, one being Tuesday night and Friday night at home, tonight against Milwaukee, and on Friday against Austin Peay. So we'll look forward to that as well. Take care, everybody.